this past weekend, my wife is out of town. She went to New York for Shabbos and on Sunday. So on Sunday, I said to my kids, so what do you guys want to do? Do you want me to make pancakes and eggs, you know, the extent of my cooking abilities? Do you want me to do that? Or do you want to go out for pizza? And I was shocked when my kids chose to go out for pizza. That was just an absolute shocker. I was even more shocked when I asked them where they wanted to go. So where do you want to go for pizza? Would you rather go to Tel Aviv, or would you rather go to Tel Aviv or EJ? They all chose Tel Aviv, every single one of them. He said, is there another pizza place in Chicago aside from Tel Aviv Pizza? They were not mocking that Tel Aviv was even close to Tel Aviv. That's my kids' opinion. So they decided. So we went to Tel Aviv Pizza, and we all sat down together, and we walked in, and there was really almost no one there. And we were pretty much the only ones there. My kids sat down at one table, and I've got six kids. They all took up like the whole table together. And I go up to order. So I order, and two pizzas, and french fries, and a soup for somebody, and I don't know, whatever it is, right? I went and ordered everything. And then all of a sudden, a person comes up behind me. Looked like an older man, grayish beard, almost rabbi-esque. I couldn't tell if he was a rabbi or not. And he turned to me and he said, are those your kids? And I said, yeah. He said, they're so good. So I said, so I joked. I was like, yeah, I beat them into submission, right? Which is a normal answer that you'd hear from somebody who, you know, gets complimented. I'm very terrible at taking compliments. So I said, yeah, they happen to be really good kids. So he's like, no, but before their food comes out, they're sitting there silent. They're just sitting at the table. How do you do that? How do you get them to do that? I said, I said, blame it on my wife. I'm sure my wife had a lot to do with it, but I don't know. They're just really good kids. He was like flabbergasted. And as I'm ordering, he's just staring at my kids the whole time, which is a little creepy, but he was staring at my kids the whole time. And saw that they didn't move, they didn't whatever, and they were all like talking to each other like nicely, no screaming or anything like that. And he was just shocked. He couldn't believe it. He absolutely could not believe it. He couldn't. So he turned to me and he said, after I finished ordering, he said, you know what? I'm paying for your meal. I'm paying for your entire meal. So I said, I really appreciate it. I don't think so. I said, I'm not gonna take that from you. I appreciate it though, and it really, it's like the greatest compliment. You're willing to pay for it, but really, I don't need it. He said, no, I insist, absolutely. I'm gonna make sure I am paying for your meal. I said, listen, why don't you see what they're like after they eat their meal? Okay, wait until the very end. And if they're really good, right, then I'll accept it. But I'm telling you, just wait. I don't want you to regret this. Pay for the meal, and then all of a sudden they start throwing things at you. Then I don't want that to happen. So why don't we wait until after that happens? So we waited. And for some reason, at this meal, my kids were beyond perfect. The pleases and the thank yous. One of my kids said, it's Bar Torah. That doesn't happen at pizza shops. He's like, Daddy, I learned in a Rambam this week. I'm like, what is going on here? I have no idea. I'm sitting there like, this doesn't make any sense. And the kids were literally the most perfect angels ever. Even toward the end, when the baby started getting a little restless because he had pizza all over him, right? And he didn't know what to do with himself. And the kids were all like, it's okay. Oh, he got me dirty. It's fine. It's just a baby. Like, no screaming, nothing, no kicking under the table, anything. Honestly, I have no idea whose kids they were. No idea. But either way, at the end, the guy came up to me. He said, I have to compliment you. Where do you kids go to school? And they told him, first, me, Beit Yaakov, and my daughter's in high school, whatever, and goes through. And he said, it is unbelievable. It is such a testament to your schools, to your parents. You're such good kids. And I am taking care of your meal for today. I'm paying for your meal today. They're sitting there like, what do we get? Like, that takes care of my dad. We don't get anything out of it. Like, they don't get anything. All right, that's that. But I was shocked, absolutely shocked. So I told the guy as he was paying, I'm saying, listen, I've never met you before. I don't know if I'm ever going to see him ever again because I assume he's Elio and Avi, right? But I said, I've learned something from over here. When I see something like this, when I see a bunch of kids that act in that way, I should do the same thing to their parents. I should go up to the parents and I should compliment them and I should say, your kids are amazing. I want to pay for your meal. If somebody did it to me, and I felt amazing after that. I told my wife, I told my parents, my wife, of course, I said, it's only because I was there and not you. Of course, that you have to put out there. All right, but I told my parents, I called up a bunch of people, I said, this is what just happened to me. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing that somebody was willing to do it. Absolutely amazing that my kids actually did it. Like, it was amazing. But I'm going to do this now. I'm going to go out, and as they call it in the non-Jewish world, paying it forward, I'm going to make sure that this happens as well. That when I see kids, I am going to make sure that this happens for them. I'll just try to make sure that it happens at some place like Dunkin' Donuts, which is a lot cheaper. That's what I'll try to make sure, but I can't promise anything. I just assume that that's what I'm going to do in this situation. And then there's something else. That was one usage of money in a tremendous way, and something that I want to emulate, something that I want to try to do myself. But I don't know if you know what happened this past week, but the Cubs won the World Series. The first time in 108 years. I'm sure if nobody knew that, that's also a bit of a shocker. I'm extremely impressed with you. There were many from Jews from Chicago who went to the game. Many from Jews who went to the game. I don't know about the numbers. I don't know about the percentages. It keeps going up. I think this might be like a Woodstock thing where everybody says they were there and they weren't actually there. It very well could be. But I cannot believe the amount of from Jews that I've seen. Younger, all younger, like my age, a little bit older, a little bit younger, who all went to the game. Who all went to the game. Now, tickets were expensive. That's obvious, right? Game sevens in any sport is going to be expensive. Game sevens for the Chicago Cubs in a World Series are extremely expensive. And they were expensive. And my brother said to some person they had gotten tickets in the upper row of the upper deck for $2,000 each. They asked my brother if he wanted to go, and he said, I'm not spending $2,000 on tickets that are all the way up there. But not only that, that wasn't it. A couple of them, and I mean a bunch of them, came together and they chartered flights to Cleveland. Because they didn't want to take the regular flights in case they got canceled, and they wanted to get there a little bit early, so they chartered a flight. Chartering a flight cost anywhere between $9,000 and $15,000. And there was one group of three people that did it by themselves, another group of three or four people that did it by themselves. A couple people drove, you know, there were the drivers and everything like that. But chartering a flight, which means at the end of the day, listen, the cost of maybe $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, they went to the game. Now, I want to start with right over here. This is not going to be a sheer against going to a Cubs game, okay? It's not going to be a sheer about how they wasted their money. That's not what it's going to be. That's not what we're doing over here. And I also don't want people to say, well, okay, Svi, what if you had that kind of money? Then what would you say? Right? If you had that kind of money that you'd be able to spend on something like this, you would also do the same thing. What would be in that case? The answer to that question, the reason why I'm bringing this up, is because I was offered tickets in Chicago for my son, Noki. Noki is in Kai Lifeline, and they tried getting him tickets, and they came up to me and said, we're close to getting them. In the end, they didn't get them, but they came up to me and said, would you go? And I said, no. I said no, because that's not my thing, and I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to take off a night in Nice Theater to go to a Cubs game, even if it is a game. It would have been a game five in Wrigley Field. I wasn't going to do that. But I said my son for sure should go, and I called up my brother, and I said, would you go? And my brother was like, of course, 100%, right? My brother was all into it. It wasn't on me. So there's no question. So I do have the ability to say that I could have gone to a game, but I wouldn't go through. That's a test that I feel like I passed in my own mind. Whether or not that was a test or not, doesn't matter. Something I passed. So what do I want to get out of this? We have this chus in our generation of fabulous wealth. Wealth that previous generations never had. Never had. There have always been Rappaport families or Reichman families, very, very wealthy families of Jews. There have always been Jews that have been extremely successful throughout the generations, throughout our 2,000 years of Gullus, without a question, where the family's been wealthy in everything. But we as a whole, every single one of us, are fabulously wealthy in comparison to anything that our fathers and our grandfathers had. There is no one here that would even consider being a tailor for a living. Nobody would even consider it. You wouldn't even think about it. Somebody would say, why not be a tailor? It's a good job. Everybody needs tailors. You wouldn't even consider it, even though it is a good job, and you do get paid pretty well. You would never consider it. You would never consider being, let's just say, a custodian for a school. You wouldn't consider it. You'd be the head custodian. You don't mind being the head of all of them, being in charge and telling everybody else what to do. But to do that? No, absolutely not. You wouldn't even think about it. That wouldn't be a thought by you. These are jobs that were normally done. Can you imagine? I went up to a person and I said, they're trying to think about what they want to do for a living. And I say, you know, I think you would be really good. You personally, I think you would be really good. You seem like you have the skills to be able to be what? You pick a profession of choice from 150 years ago. A shepherd. It's not even a consideration. Who's going to be a shoemaker? Who's going to be a shepherd? Who's going to do that? Like the tailor by far gets me. And there's no question in the times of the basement, there's four basement issues with Ben Kalba Sabua and Nassim Ben Gurion and Ben Sedkat. They were tremendously wealthy people. They could support Yerushalayim single-handedly. There were during the times of Shlomo, we're talking about Kesem in the streets, although I know that the times of the base that makers, maybe that's a little bit different, but it's well goes to wealthy people. But us, we're beyond it. This is a world that you cannot imagine, where I'm sitting there talking to people and they say the only way that a frum family can really make it now is if they make $275,000 a year. If the frum family makes $275,000 a year, you're good, and if not, no, whatever, what can you do? That's unreal. That literally is not a normal world. That's not a normal world. That doesn't make any sense at all. When we think about these numbers, you're dealing with a completely and utter different challenge. We all wish to become wealthy, and it's a bracha in the Torah in this week's parsha. The wording that's given to Avraham Avinu when he was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should lech lecha, go to Eretz Yisrael. In the second pasuk, he's told, "The eschol agoy gav, I'll make you into a great nation." That means you're going to have children. Va'avarechacha, I'm going to bless you with wealth. I'm going to give you a tremendous amount of wealth. Va'gadlus shemecha, and I'll make you famous. Ve'yei bracha, and it'll be a bracha. Lots of shailas. What does ve'yei bracha mean? Rashi has a strange metrics that you're going to be the chosman b'chah chosman, that you're going to be the end of the bracha. Ve'nivruchu b'chah goes with that. Ve'yei bracha. What's the line of ve'yei bracha? Because there's so many people who have that wealth, that fame, and it's not good for them. Would anybody want to be those people that are Hollywood stars that are getting divorced, where the paparazzi is following them wherever they go, every step they take? You'd never want it. You'd never want it. The wealth that people have to be, it can be, and it is, a tremendous challenge. What to use it for, what not to use it for. When are you going to give tzedakah? When are you not going to give tzedakah? There are no real halachos of how to give meiser off of your tzedakah. How do you know you're doing it properly? The Gemara says out of those three people that we said that were tremendous coming to come in, Nassim Ben Gurion, one of them. Nassim Ben Gurion's daughter was sitting in Yerushalayim after the Korban. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was riding on a horse. Nassim Ben Gurion's daughter, the Gemara in Ksuvah Daf Samach Vav, was sitting there pulling out the grain from the dung of the donkeys of their enemies and eating the grain. She was so starving. She stood up when she saw Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and she said, "Do you know who I am?" He said, "Of course." At first he didn't recognize her. She said, "I'm the daughter of Nassim Ben Gurion." He said, "The daughter of Nassim Ben Gurion." She said, "Rebbe, do you remember what you signed down to Mike Suva? Do you know what I was given for Mike Suva?" He said, "I promise you," he said to his Talmidim, "I signed in her Ksuva. Ksuva is worth $1 million. $1 million is how much she got in her Ksuva, aside from what her father-in-law ended up putting into the marriage. That's how much money she had. Now look what she's doing. Look what happens." And the Gemara says, what happened to Nassim Ben Gurion's money? Nassim Ben Gurion's money, he didn't give tzedakah properly. Not giving tzedakah properly makes you lose everything. Nassim Ben Gurion, he's willing to support a third of Yerushalayim. He's willing to support all of Yerushalayim and a third of what they needed. What do you mean he's not doing tzedakah properly? What does that mean? There are some answers, but think about that question. To be wealthy, to be so wealthy, to not know what to do with yourself. We give ourselves these brachas and we say, "V'hayei bracha." Let it be a bracha. We're wishing that this only becomes good for us and not bad. It's difficult. It's difficult in this world of ours to accept what we are, to accept what we're supposed to do. With all of these challenges, the tremendous challenges, and here is the ikur. The guy who paid for my meal on Sunday night, that's a person, I don't think this man had money. I don't think this man was wealthy. Maybe he was, and I was totally not seeing it. There's a person who's so impressed, he wants to give $75 away, he gives $75 away. And it meant something to him. Do you think it came out of his Meister money? No, it didn't come out of his Meister money. He felt like he wanted it, he gave it, he did it. There are other people who mamish don't know what to do with their money. I am not putting the people that spent all that money last week, thousands upon thousands of dollars, necessarily in that category. Some of them may be in that category. But I'm not saying that. That's not the point. The point is, what are we thinking to ourselves when we, Baruch Hashem, we're going to have money in the future? What are our priorities in what we're going to spend on? And what are the secondary or the tertiary things that we're going to spend on? Is it you're living your life in order to make enough money to go to a Cubs World Series Game 7 on a chartered plane and a rented car that's nicer than the car that you have at home? Is that what your life is about? Is that what you want? Or is that just a perk that comes along with it? But my ikar is I'm spending my money here. My money goes to X. That it should go to one certain thing. It's priorities. Prioritize. And there are some people who prioritize beautifully. They give millions of dollars to tzedakah. Millions. And for them to spend the $10,000, $15,000, even $20,000 to go to a Cubs game, I don't hold that against them at all. They have all the right in the world to do that. All the right in the world to do such a thing. But for it to be as if other people are being pressured to spend that kind of money, to be involved. For it to be that that's your ikar, that this is the number one thing that I spent in all year. For you to go afterward and say that this is what I would do 10 times out of 10 times. This is what I'm going to do. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right. Is it geschmack to go to a game 7 of a Cubs team that hasn't won in 108 years? 100%! 100%! That's awesome! Is it geschmack to charter a plane anywhere? Even if just going around O'Hare Airport and coming right back down? Yes! 100%! That is awesome! That is absolutely awesome! I would love to be able to do such a thing! But is that a priority? Is that your number one? Is this what you want to do with your money? Or is it just a perk? Is it a perk of the fact that you have something? We have to start thinking a little differently now. We're in a world where really, you can't get by without $275,000. What are we spending on? What are we doing? Why can't we be tailors? Why can't we? What's the pshat? Is it that it's such a menial job that any tailor we should look down on for being a tailor? Will we all have to be millionaires? What is it? What is with us? This is not a blast. It's really to ourselves. What are our heads thinking? What do we think to ourselves? In the day, back in the day, the line that was given from Moshe Rabbeinu, which was misunderstood by his grandson, is afilu avoda shezorolo. Even if an avoda is something strange to you, you would never do it normally. If you need it, you do it. If you have to do it, you have to do it. And in that sense, I want to make sure that I'm clear about this. I want people going to baseball games and basketball games. I paid money for my kids to go to basketball games and baseball games, for them to go, not to football games because that's crazy, but for them to go to games, to see sports games. There's no question. I paid for it. You know what I did? I paid for, I forgot what it's called, like Xfinity has a 7-day trial, right, where you can go through. I paid $19.99 so that my son can watch, my son, right, not me, my son could watch the World Series. So that my son can watch the World Series. He was allowed to watch the World Series if he did an hour of learning. Then he was allowed to watch the World Series however long it went for that night. The last game was impossible. I didn't, that was too much. But I allowed him. I allowed him. Why? Not on Friday night also. I took that one out as well. But why? Because I knew this is a challenge. That's a real challenge. And that's not something that I want to say to my kid, like, honey, you should be bigger and stronger than that. He's not bigger and stronger than that. He's 10. There's no way he's bigger and stronger than that. So I did it. I made sure. Yes, he has the ability to watch it if he wants. And of course, to use your hard-earned money for things that you like doing, of course, is supposed to be done. Of course you're supposed to do that. But where, what do you really want to spend on? What is a perk and what is considered most important? If a person goes out this year and says the best thing he did this year is go to the Cubs game, there's something wrong. I feel that is 100% wrong. To say that was an awesome time and that was so much fun. So much fun. And that was so great. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. But to remember that there are priorities in how we spend money and what we do with our money and how we think about what we're supposed to do with our money. our thought process. And that's something that starts now, before you have the money, not once you have it. Before you get it, before you make your money, before you all become fabulously wealthy, the bracha, the yay bracha, before it becomes, you have to think to yourself, what am I going to do when I do have this money? What am I going to spend it on? I'm going to end with this. I always told people, and it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but it's a little bit serious as well, that if I did become fabulously wealthy, if I would win the lottery, or Skokie Shiba would decide to give me an awesome raise, right? Then I said that the biggest problem, the biggest challenge for me, is that I was going to make a house that was really a fish tank. It would just be one massive fish tank, and I would be living in it. If not like a whole house, it would be like a living room. It would be like one living room that would be one massive fish tank. No question, sharks. Yes, 100% great white sharks. That's what I would have inside there. That would be by far my biggest challenge. Maybe even getting a blue whale inside there, having it swim around. Maybe that would be it. But 100%, that would be one of my biggest challenges. But I'm joking about it, a little bit joking, but I am joking about it. Because I know what priorities are. I know what I would and wouldn't do with the money. I know when it boils down to it, if I actually got the money, what would I actually do? Someone would have to confiscate the money from me. That's what would have to happen. Somebody would have to grab my checkbook. But that's something I thought about. I thought about it. I know what I want to do with it. I know how I want to do what I want to spend and how I want to give it to my kids and what I want to do with them. It's something that everyone should be thinking about. And again, if you come out with, no, I'm dead serious, I'm going to make a fish tank that's going to be my living room. If you're going to come out with that, I think you might want to prioritize it differently. You want to move it around in a different way. Just a little bit. Okay? Figure out something else. Have a good week, everybody.